Hello, grandkids, and welcome to OPA 35.
35. You know, last week I think I said we were going to be running for president because the podcast can legally do that, constitutionally speaking, at this point, being 35 episodes in. But I don't know. I just think that's like, you know, not cool anymore. There's like so many people trying to run for president these days. I had second thoughts.
And it's a little early to run for president. 35 is not all that young.
Sure.
I feel like Obama and was W kind of a younger president too?
I want to say he was on the younger end.
So
I recently saw who the youngest president was, and it surprised me because I assumed it would be JFK because I just remember people saying that he was the youngest, a young president. But, right. Oh, it was Theodore Roosevelt. It was 42.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yeah. but he was originally vice president, then became president when William McKinley was assassinated. Technically, John F. Kennedy is the youngest to have been elected president. He was 43.
Oh, okay, yeah, Bush was 54, so...
Well, that's not super young.
Yeah, and I guess, but compared to... I always thought, it was just because we grew up with Reagan and H.W. Bush, who were 69 and 64 at their inaugurations.
That's true.
Clinton was younger than Obama actually at 46 years and 154 days. And then W was 54 and Obama was 47. So,
wow, yeah, Obama was definitely on the younger side, even more so than Bush. You know, speaking of old people running for president, or just people in general, I guess. I don't know why we're getting so political here, but that's all right. it was somebody wrote an article that said Joe Biden should run for president. And I'm not really sure if that... I mean, I don't think there's a chance in hell he'd get elected. But, I mean, I guess if he had something he wanted to, like, say or, like, steer policy or whatever, he could kind of get his voice out there a little bit by running for president.
Yeah, I mean, that would be one way to do things if he felt like doing it that way.
But that would be...
Man, I thought you were going to transition from old people to really old people.
Yeah, you know, even older than Joe Biden, I guess. We could be talking about people like that. Sure.
Yeah, people that maybe lived 10,000 years ago.
Some sedentary people, I would say.
Yes, we have two topics about some people that are very not mobile.
About as chill as you can be.
Yes, there is, just this week, there was a mummy. I guess this was known. One of the Buddha statues is just, they mummified someone inside of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess they knew that people had done that, and they were pretty sure that that's what this was, but it just looks like a statue, like a gold, I don't know if it's real gold, but, you know, probably it is, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine. They didn't really talk about the specific metallics of the statue in either article here.
But they used this something... magnetic resonance or something like that machine?
Yeah, a CT scan.
Oh, a CT scan. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they were able to, like, look inside of it without damaging it, which is super cool.
Right. Yeah. I was a little surprised that it's taking quite the trip because it was in Siberia, and now it's in the Netherlands is where it was getting its exam.
Huh. You know, I guess you sometimes forget that there's, like... you know, what you would say as Asian people, I guess, living in Siberia for some reason. Like, you think of that as being Russian.
Oh.
But, yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Right, yeah. It's definitely more of a Asian look to those people.
Yes. But it is kind of wild to me. I had never heard of this before, that somebody, like, they would have a statue that was made from somebody's mummy?
Right. Yeah, this seemed like a somewhat common practice, the way the article was saying. Like, they didn't come out and say it exactly, but it seems like this happened on a fairly regular basis, which, yeah, I didn't realize this. Like, I didn't realize they did the whole mummy thing like the Egyptians.
Yeah, I guess I used to think that, like, bandages was, like, such an integral part of a mummy that really you needed to have that. And, like, I would never think of a mummy as being inside of a statue. Like, it just seems weird. Because it's not like a sarcophagus that you would open, right? I mean, this is all completely sealed in there.
Yeah, you're not getting out. Like, that's what I loved. I loved some of the Buddhist people that thought that he was still in a heavenly state of thinking. Like, he was
in a meditative advanced meditative state.
Yeah, it was called Tudkom sugar.
Tukdam.
Okay. Yeah, Tukdam.
I for some reason really latched on to that idea because it I don't know, it appealed to me for some reason to think of this guy as just being like eternally meditating there inside this statue. I don't know. Is that creepy?
I guess I don't think it's possible.
Right.
The guy does not have any oxygen. As you pointed out, this thing's sealed. Like, at least with the sarcophagus, you go, oh, maybe it's a little ajar. Maybe someone didn't quite build this right. No, this is a solid hunk of metal surrounding you.
True. Yeah, and plus they removed all his organs, which they were able to tell through the CT scan as well.
Right. So, yeah, that's a little tough to live if you do not have organs.
That's a major obstacle to living, having all your organs removed. You need those.
many other things, there were scrolls in there.
Or they said pieces of paper, I think.
Pieces of paper.
They must have, that must be some damn good imaging to be able to, like, see the pieces of paper. I guess they probably couldn't read what was on the paper.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe someday, though. That would be wild.
Yeah. We'll get working on that invention next.
Okay. We're throwing out that as a free idea for an invention. You know, if somebody wants to run with it, go for it. Just, yep.
We don't have the skills. We're just throwing it out there. We're idea people.
Right. We come up with the big ideas. That's really the hard part, I think.
That's why you come to this podcast, for the big ideas.
Exactly. So, but, you know, I guess there is this advanced meditation within Buddhism, like, for people who are alive.
Yes. Yes, there is.
So, I guess, I want to say that the Buddha in the story supposedly meditated for 7 years under a tree or something like that?
I believe that was the case.
So there, I mean, obviously big into meditation. Buddhists are big into meditation. I don't know if you guys knew that. But, it's kind of like the idea of being like totally still maybe in some ways. And like to be like dead is in a way, like you can't get much stiller than that. But, I don't know if it's cheating because you really can't meditate when you're, maybe you can, I don't know. You know, there's some people, yeah. I think you think that like time slows down when you die. And so like you never stop experiencing that last moment. No. So if we're dealing with that situation, then, but that'd be, I mean, what if you died bad? That would really suck. That seems arbitrary. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you want to die, but it happens. So
I think it does. Yeah, it seems that way. We're just prolonging. We're living it in an impermanent world that we desperately try to make permanent. And, you know, you wonder why we're not happy, Kevin.
Oh, man. But, yeah, this guy supposedly did it for 7 years, but there was another article that that melds with this one. And another Buddhist.
Ah, yes.
A child, in fact.
Yeah, definitely a young man. The picture is, well, he's known as Buddha Boy, but to article headline writers.
Ram Bador Bomjan, to the best of my pronunciation of this child's name.
Right. But
he's from Nepal, and he's 6 years old, said to be 6 years old.
6 years old? Holy moly.
Yes. And he held...
he looks older than six to me. I don't know.
He initially said would be... oh.
I want to see the birth certificate.
Oh, he said that he was going to meditate for 6 years. I'm sorry. I was misreading that.
Woo, okay. Yeah, I didn't buy he was six, but that makes more sense. He was going to meditate for 6 years. But then he proceeded to apparently meditate for 10 months. At least that's the...
yes.
The story.
Without any water or food.
Or moving.
And a Discovery crew went over there and filmed him for 96 hours. And did not...
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days. And did not notice him moving at all in 4 days.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, like, even if the 10 months isn't true, decided to sneeze or something when nobody was around. He's been, man, I have been holding that for 24 hours.
Right, yeah. Or if you would have to itch yourself or something. Like, how would you stay still that whole time?
I have no idea.
And plus, you know, hearkening back to an earlier topic, sitting being the new cancer, possibly. it's not good for you. It shouldn't really be good for you to sit there for that long, you know? Like your leg would fall asleep.
It's a different position, because I think the sitting is more within
I guess you're right. It is like whatever, a lotus position or something, probably he was sitting in.
Yeah. Right. So it's different than just sitting in a chair, and I think that that's the problem that most people are harping on in that department.
Right. He's not sitting in an office chair and meditating.
Right.
Maybe that's our problem. So we should all be, you know, sitting in a lotus position. I think I would like that better than a standing desk, really. That's just me.
Yeah, you'd have to get used to it, but I think you could do it.
Yeah. You would have to have a really low-to-the-floor desk, you know? Something a few inches off the floor, I'm saying.
Yeah, like the desk in front of us, actually.
I'm thinking a little shorter than this. I mean,
even
this is
a little
like
shorter?
This is like a coffee table, just to give the listener an idea of what we're talking about here.
I feel like this is a fairly low coffee table, so.
Sure. It's on the low end of a coffee table, I'll grant you. I'll go that far. But yeah, I was thinking a little lower than this. Like, maybe even as low down here. Anyway,
gotcha.
This is endlessly fascinating to the listener, no doubt. But, so I had heard about this, Buddha boy, quote unquote, before. And then when I saw this article, you know, that you had forwarded today about the, CT scan on the statue of the mummy, it, reminded me of this. And then I started thinking about it some more, and it occurred to me that, you know, they say that your heartbeat is, an involuntary, activity, right?
Yeah.
But they've shown people who can like meditate, you know, monks or whatever, are able to like affect their heart rate, you know, affect their breathing rate and
slow it down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you would think that this kid,
the 6-year old boy.
Well, they don't end up saying how old he is in the article.
He kind of looks like a young adult to me, but I don't know. Maybe in his teens.
Yeah, it's unknown to us at the current moment.
Yes, yes, exactly. And he's kind of got his hair really pushed over his face, so you can't even see him in the photo. But he does almost look like he's blending into this tree here.
He certainly looks like he's trying to, aside from the fact that he's wearing a bright red robe up against a caked in what would almost look like mud tree.
Right. I guess it's kind of like he looks dusty or something to me, like here on his tunic maybe.
Oh, well, you would have to acquire some type of outside debris.
Right.
If you're sitting there for any length of time.
Well, that's probably a good reason to keep your hair in your eyes, too, so that you don't, like, get a bunch of shit flying in your
Maybe that's why he's not sneezing. He's got his hair in front of him.
Dude,
he's
protecting himself. Got it figured out.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right, he's not, you know,
this
no
is
more
why,
office chairs. No, you know.
This is why they're the kings at meditating.
Yeah. Wow. Obviously, they're more advanced than we are here when it comes to meditating. But no, I think this is super cool. Like, I mean, and it made me think that maybe somehow this advanced form of meditation, as they say, it's like almost a hibernation state or something along those lines. Because you think about, you know, there are other mammals that are able to do that and, like, you know, hibernate over winter for long periods of time without eating,
right,
or drinking. So, I mean, if you could maybe tap into something that hasn't been, you know, shown up in a lab yet and you know, slow your metabolism down enough, then it might be possible, I think.
Yeah, and the one other thing that this reminded me of is I felt like it happened a couple of times in I Shouldn't Be Alive, I believe was the name of the TV show. I always talk about this. It wasn't on too long, or they changed the name of it and I kind of lost track of it.
It was kind of a bummer of a show, really.
Yeah, because people always died.
They lied in the title.
Well, people were always alive. True. But people always died, too.
That's right. That's the part they don't tell you. They could have said...
There was always a larger group, and unfortunately, the larger group became a smaller group that was telling the story.
So, they really could have called the show, I Survived... Wait, was that what they called it?
I Shouldn't Be Alive.
I Shouldn't Be Alive, ... and some other people aren't. That could have been the full title of that show. It was a little bit of a bummer. But so people were able to survive for long periods of time?
But I feel like I remember seeing one where the guy was in a desert for a longer amount of time. Like, because this, they mentioned that, you know, most science says that you can't go more than 4 days without water. I think that's why they picked the 96 hours as a time frame. And, the kid was still around. And, like, he ended up getting out of, you know, whether or not he kind of was faking people out for 10 months or not, the guy is still alive. So, I mean, he at least spent 4 days without getting water, which is longer than you should be able to go.
Yeah, I for some reason thought 3 days, but I guess an extra day just to be sure. You know, they stayed there for the whole time, but it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
We have a visitor.
We have a dogly interruption.
A little pug in red pajamas just ran in here. But he's been dealt with now, so what? Buddha boy, what were we
Oh yeah, not being able to survive for more than 3 or 4 days. And I feel like there was an episode or two where people survived longer than believed to be time frame, like, 3 or 4 days. Like, it wasn't a lot more days, it was like 5 or 6, I felt like.
Yeah.
But
well, that's a lot of days though. 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
That's longer than I would think you could live without water. I wonder if they were in like very humid environments or something. I don't know if that makes a difference.
The one guy was in a desert.
Wow.
The main memory that I have was the guy being in a desert. So, I mean, but it kind of goes to your point, though, of being in some type of conservation state, you know, where your body just kind of goes to that point where it's just it realizes how bad things are, so it's just doing what it can to survive, and that's kind of it. And I think he ended up getting found, or I have a hard time. I don't remember the stories exactly, but
I bet he was pretty messed up though.
Oh yeah, like he spent weeks in the hospital. It was in Australia somewhere, I believe.
But this guy seems to be, just fine from having sat there for that long.
Yeah, Buddha Boy seems fine at 10 months, which is really something completely different if he actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
Over a 10-month time frame. I mean, that is completely wild.
Or I would say even a 4-day time period, because this guy, I mean, granted he was in the desert, but he was hurting, for those 4 days, I'm sure.
Right, and I can't remember if they mentioned...
The sounds of Kevin?
Yeah, well, I was just... I feel like he was already meditating by the time the Discovery crew got there. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm doing a stunt for the Discovery Channel.
Right, no, he was there previously.
Yeah, he was there previously, and they happened to be doing a topic similar to this, so they went there. So, I mean, supposedly he was in this state already by the time they got there. I guess that was kind of the point that I was trying to get at.
And eventually he said that he had too much, there was too much distractions, or like... hubbub, because people were coming there as like a tourist attraction, basically, it seemed like.
Right.
To check him out. But he just disappeared one night, I guess, right? And moved further into the woods, apparently.
Yeah, see, I didn't see this secondary... I don't feel like I saw anything like that in here, but... Oh, and I did kind of want to see, that'd be cool to see the time-lapse footage that I didn't take the time to watch before the show.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can put a link to that on the show page.
Yes, as always, we will try to link everyone up.
We're going to throw the links at you, see if you can handle them. Buckle in, kids. It's a wild ride.
Oh yeah, and I don't know why I missed this. There's supposedly someone under observation at a medical hospital for 411 days, and during this time he did not consume any food, but he did drink boiled water.
No food for 411 days. Wow.
Yeah, that's I mean, I don't want to go that long without, and it, like, I admire what they're doing, I suppose, but I don't want to do it myself at all. Like, I have no want to do this.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. I guess, we both have day jobs, so that it kind of makes it difficult in a way to just kind of set aside the time to not eat under medical observation for 400 days.
Yeah, I suppose I would choose not to give up my day job just to do this.
I guess we could continue podcasting if we were in this medical facility, or it doesn't really say medical facility, medical observation, right?
Yes, I believe the article says.
So what if, did he just have somebody following him around and he was maybe going about his day as normal?
No, it says medical hospital.
Oh, okay.
In a medical hospital under strict observation.
Wow. So that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could probably still do our podcast from there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say he didn't talk or...
Or do a podcast, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if we can get in such a deep meditative state, we can think our podcast.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. First thinking podcast.
That's right. Well, we'd have to start thinking, though.
Right. About how we're going to do this.
Yes. And in general. But, yeah, I don't know. I got into the Buddhism topic this week. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting little religion there. And
I guess if I could do it, I would probably want to do it to just see what it would be like. You know, you would hope it would not be so uncomfortable, I guess, that you would be in some kind of state. Like, I guess you wouldn't want to, this would be like, you know, you or me going into the Olympic weightlifting competitions, you know, at the Olympics or something. Like, you know, obviously we're not ready for that. You would have to do some kind of training to get to the point where this guy's at, I'm saying.
But, right,
so
for
like,
sure.
If I found myself in that position, do I think it would be cool to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But,
yeah, I mean, I think are you saying that he's going to try to up the Buddhist game? Is that what his, goal was here? Was to, see more Buddhists, you know, meditate for months on time?
I don't know. You think he wants to, start off a meditate war or something like that?
Yeah.
Meditate off?
Well, yeah, that'd be exciting. He's bringing awareness to meditation.
That's a good one. Awareness.
He's raising funds for every hour that he sits there. You can donate money.
Wow, I guess that would be. He probably missed out on an opportunity by not doing that.
Yeah, he could brand it. You know, maybe get Coke or Pepsi to sponsor him,
or at least
so that when he finally comes out of his meditative state, the first thing he cracks is a, you know, a Pepsi or a
right.
Coke.
And then he says, I'm going to Disneyland, you know?
Yep.
That's.
I mean, they're in Nepal, so, I mean, they'd rather go to Disneyland than Disney World, you know? I mean, they'd rather go to the West Coast.
Sure, they want to be CLA, then Hollywood. They love that. My question I just thought of. How did the Discovery Channel get this deal for this guy? If he was, like, already in his meditation state, like, how could they, like, get his permission to, like, film him and make this happen?
You think his parents?
He had, like, agents or something? His parents, maybe?
Yeah.
That they talked to?
I would imagine you'd have to clear it with someone.
Right.
Maybe you clear it with the top Buddhist in the area?
Because it sounded like they had some, like, rules kind of on their, what they could do. Like, they couldn't get closer than a certain, like, maybe 10 feet or something like that, I want to say. But, yeah, I guess he, maybe his parents. I mean, the guy's only 6 years old. He probably shouldn't be, making those decisions anyway, so... That's right. His parents would obviously take care of that.
Oh, man. I'm again not finding exactly the distance that they were required to be away from him.
No, that's okay, though.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he at any point fell asleep during this time.
That is kind of the interesting thing. I mean, what is that state like? Like, for, you know, when you get into it for that long, is it like just one giant REM cycle?
Yeah.
Like, because that is a large, it was kind of interesting. That was one of those nine fascinating facts, was that your brain.
Oh my God. It's almost like I transitioned into this.
Your brain does as much work at night in the REM stage as at any point that you're awake.
Yeah. So I guess people think like when you go to sleep, your brain is like resting, but in reality, it's almost like they think helping form memories, like maybe filing things that are important.
And I agree with them. The researchers for this said the fascinating thing about it is we don't really know.
Right. They still... Yep.
And like it's still an unknown field.
Like when you think about doctors and scientists today, like you figure like we've got it basically figured, you know, we've got it figured out. Like, they know what they're doing, and we should just, you know...
go with it.
Yeah. And for most part, I mean, for a lot of things, anyway, like, they do know things, like, through using experimentation and, you know, learn scientific method. They can learn things about the human body, but I guess the thought that we know everything, or, you know, even maybe most things, is kind of erroneous.
Yeah, as much as we do like to talk about living in the future, as we term it.
Right.
There is still a lot of stuff that is just unknown.
Yeah, like like sleep, for example. Like, why does it make sense for animals to sleep? Because you're basically totally at the mercy of anything that comes along. You know?
Yeah, that was the one thing, I guess I... Just because you've never had to, well, we've never had to worry about that really in our lives. Like, even at a campground, and I know I've stayed at a few campgrounds in my life. I didn't
know that for a fact.
Yeah, I did not ever feel like, even if there were bear or something in the area, I never felt all that worried that something was going to happen.
Right. Like, you go to sleep and you're feeling pretty safe for the most part.
Yeah. I don't feel like some deadly snake's gonna come up and bite me like I'm in the outback or something. Like, I always felt pretty comfortable with what was going on.
Yeah, I guess, but in the wild, as you say.
Yeah, for most of human history, this really could be quite the valid concern.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you can't see what's coming up at you when your eyes are closed. And you won't necessarily hear things, too. But there's obviously something important happening. Just haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah. And there are some things that I was kind of interested in, because this was something that I felt like I ended up learning in architecture school. Because one of the other factoids was you can't train yourself to sleep less. Your need for sleep is largely genetic.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
I thought that was interesting because I remember me being the one that didn't sleep and you always being the one that loved to sleep.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. When we were roommates there... I was, you know, in all points of my life, I love sleeping. I guess I've had to give up on that somewhat lately. But, you know, I guess growing up does that somewhat to you, having a kid. But it's still nice to sleep. And I feel like I do need more sleep maybe than other people do.
And, yeah.
That makes sense.
And I guess that was the one thing I hadn't thought about it. Like, I felt like architecture school did it to me. But then I looked back and I was like, oh, I always remember being, before school, I'd wake up, like in grade school, I'd wake up to watch cartoons first thing in the morning. So, I mean, I'd get up at like 5:30 or something like that to go watch like Heckle and Jekyll.
Oh, yeah, they had the old school cartoons.
And Chilly Willy. Yeah, they had some old school cartoons on that time of the day. Woody Woodpecker was definitely another one.
What about Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse was on that time of the day.
Yeah, that sounds right. So,
you didn't
need that much sleep, you felt like, back then.
Yeah, like, I felt like architecture school had kind of trained me, because everyone told you, like, you get in there freshman year, everyone's like, oh, you're not going to sleep, you're not going to sleep. And sure enough, at some points, you just didn't sleep. I thought that it was something that kind of got trained into me there, but then I realized that I never really slept all that much. So it wasn't that much of a transition.
Yeah. I can just remember growing up, you would stay awake for long periods of time. I feel like you stayed up for like 48 hours at one point.
And this kind of leads to one of the other points that I in no way was surprised by, which was sleep deprivation can cause bizarre side effects.
Oh, right. Now, there was that occasion when you had to, like, you were doing a lot of driving as well that time?
There were a couple of really bad ones. There was one when I was in architecture school. I had been up 70 straight hours.
Ooh. Wow, you're approaching Buddha Boy levels here.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. And I had one last class to go to. And it was late at night. So it was just the big... And it was only... once a week. So it was pretty much mandatory to go to it.
Wow.
So we handed in our projects earlier that day. And normally I would have gone home and gone to bed. But in this case, I tried to stay up to go to this class. And I didn't end up making it. We went to the cafeteria, and I ordered a hoagie, and for some reason, I tried to eat it with a spork. But then I couldn't cut it with the plastic knife and the spork, so I just attacked the defenseless hoagie.
With the spork?
With the spork. And my girlfriend at the time said, Kevin... You are going home, and you are going to bed right now.
That's probably
and
a good news there.
And she walked me back to my dorm, and I went to bed, and she explained what had happened to our teacher at that class, and I was excused.
Well, that's good.
And then, yeah, actually, she lived here in Columbus. And one time that I came down to visit her was on the 4th of July. And I didn't really have a lot of sleep because I didn't have that much time. And I drove up to my brother's place when he was still living in Canton, Ohio.
Okay, yeah.
And then I drove from Canton down to her place the next morning on July 4th. And then back to my brother's place that night.
Oh.
And on 71, I ended up seeing these giant rats.
That's so interesting. Because that sounds like something that's in this article here. The long-haul truckers have a name for this sort of thing. What do they say? Seeing the black dog, I think?
Right.
Why would it be the same thing for everybody? Isn't that weird?
I didn't see that in this article itself, but,
oh, maybe I read that somewhere else.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, it was definitely black. Like, I remember seeing, I thought it was a rat. I didn't think it was a dog, but I thought
it was a big rat though, right?
Yeah. I thought it was this probably the size of a dog because I swerved into the other lane to try to get away from it. And then I looked at the person behind me, and they didn't move at all. Like, they didn't turn out of that lane at that spot. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not good news.
Right.
Like, that was alarming.
So you were concerned that the person behind you just so callously ran over that giant rat?
No, quite the opposite. I was concerned for my own well-being at that point. I realized that I was not in a good way. I had probably not slept very much during that time frame. And it was showing because there were no large rats in the middle of the road.
That was your conclusion based on the evidence?
Yeah, based on the evidence of the other person not moving, that's all the more evidence I have. But aside from the fact that I don't think anyone else has ever reported dog-sized rats anywhere. I've heard of large rats, but I haven't quite heard of dog-sized rats.
Yeah, that's true. At least not in this area, you know.
Right. Yeah. In the 71 corridor.
That's specifically there. Yeah. There's not been a lot of dog rat activity that I know of. Or R-O-U-T-S's, rodents of unusual size. Or R-O-U-S's, that's right. I don't know why I threw a T in there. Yeah, it's not Fire Swamp territory, so...
Nope, not Fire Swamp territory.
But if you don't sleep long enough, you'll see something pretty crazy there. Yeah, no, whatever I came across that, it said that the truckers know that when they, quote-unquote, see the black dog, they know it's time to pull over and take a rest. So I assume you pulled over and took a rest after that, or...
I had about a half an hour to get to my brother's place. So I left the windows down, sang as loud as I could. Like, I was doing all this different stuff to just try and keep myself active and awake so that I'd pay attention.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because it is kind of scary when you're if you're driving and you start to feel like you might fall asleep. It's,
Yeah, if I had been further away or something, maybe I would have considered a hotel or something like that. But I was just so close to being back to his place that I was just like, just make it back, dude. Just make it back.
So you pulled it together and you're still here with us today.
Yeah, I pulled it off.
That's a happy ending.
Not the smartest thing that you can do, but yeah, sleep deprivation does some wild stuff to you. Like, all of these things that they mentioned, to me, were like child's play. Like, rating models more attractive, even though they were considered not that attractive.
Oh, like if your standards go down, basically?
Yeah, your standards go down.
Interesting.
Like, but just because I wasn't the only one. Now... I don't know too many people that went 70 hours, but I mean, I knew plenty of people that had gone two straight days without sleeping.
Wow. To me, that just sounds crazy. Like, I don't think there's any way I could do that.
And, you know, you start to act weird. Like, no matter who it was, like, there's always just weird shit going on. Like, you're downing caffeine as much as you can.
Right. And that probably wears off and makes you tireder.
Yeah. Because there was another one where I had been up for a long time. And, I had to make one last class, like, on a Friday afternoon.
You got to knock off with these afternoon classes. Late
well,
classes.
It was, like, 3 o'clock or something. It wasn't really that late. It was, like, okay. A 2 or a 3 o'clock class was my last one on a Friday.
That's a good move.
Yeah, it wasn't all that late. But I had handed in a project, and I'm like, I had a can of Jolt with me.
Oh, Jolt.
Yep, Jolt Cola, when it had entirely too much caffeine.
That was the big selling point for it.
Yeah. It was certainly, what are the kids drinking these days? Monster.
Monster, sure.
Some
kids are taking like pure caffeine these days. Which can kill you if you do too much of that. So,
and I forgot they have the Amp from Mountain Dew now.
Amp, sure.
But yeah, I mean, that was Mountain basically Dew. What Jolt was at that point. And, you know, I had stayed up long enough. I don't remember how long I'd been up at that time in particular. But I got to class, was completely buzzing on the caffeine, and about halfway through it, the buzz just wore off because, I mean, that was the only thing keeping me awake.
Right.
And it wore off quick enough that I slept through the second half of the hour-long class. And luckily...
Undetected?
Yeah. except my one, I don't think he was a student at that point, but he had been one of my students the previous semester. He helped cover for me. He was sitting beside me. So he took notes, since he knew what the situation was, since I had just finished a project.
Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, he was a good cat.
Did he, like, do you like ventriloquist tricks to, like, make it look like you were answering questions?
Oh, no, we never sat close enough to have to worry about those shenanigans.
No, I was just wondering, like, how far he went in covering for you that you were sleeping.
No, he didn't really have to do much covering.
Because I guess, you know, like, I'm just imagining if your teacher was like, Mr. DeFrango, do you know the answer?
It was an art history class.
Okay.
So we were in a dark room looking at photos up on the wall.
Man, that is like begging you to fall asleep.
Yeah.
They might as well, like, handed you a pillow and blanket.
3 in the afternoon, man. What the hell else are you going to do at 3 in the afternoon?
Obviously, you're going to sleep. It's like, the teacher just starts the class and says, let's all look at some art. And then, like, gives, like, a big wink wink. It's like, obviously, we're going to sleep. I don't know. I kind of feel like I went off the rails there a little bit, but...
The one thing that kept me awake in her class was always the fact that she used the term various and sundry in every lecture. At least once.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those... I'm sure that I have my verbal crutches, but that was definitely hers.
Various and sundry. Mm. She probably had a very good response to that one time. And just really... kept going to that well.
Oh, man. Yeah, so like I said, that you get some weird shit going on when you're sleep deprived. So that one was not all that surprising to me.
Did this article mention the people who have the thing where they aren't able to sleep, like medically? There's something that goes wrong with their... brains that doesn't let them sleep at all?
They kind of, I'm trying to think if they had, well, they did say that 70 million Americans suffer from chronic sleep problems.
Yeah.
And that might be, underestimating the reality. Now, and that's the other thing, as much as I say I don't sleep that much, I'm never going to say I don't sleep well. I sleep like a brick 99% of the time. Like, when I'm out, I'm out.
Right. Yeah, that's how I sleep, but I just do it more, I think.
Right. You would definitely not catch me at a party saying, I'm not sleeping well. This guy is imagining that a lot of people at parties say they're not sleeping well. I don't really talk to people about sleeping at parties, so I'm not quite sure how that conversation
obviously
goes.
Yeah, this guy's going to the wrong parties where they're talking about sleeping. I guess I would say I do run into a lot of people who say they're tired, and not necessarily that they're not sleeping well, maybe, but if you're tired, you probably want to be sleeping more, I would think.
Right.
So maybe... he's thinking something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've never actually had people say that they're sleeping badly.
But, yeah.
Okay.
This was crazy, too. There was an Italian man with no history of sleep problems, checked into a sleep clinic, didn't sleep for... where the shit was that number? Oh, yeah, because insomnia means not being able to sleep for a couple of hours when going to bed. Sufferers are unable to sleep at all, sometimes for months, which, yeah, I don't have that. This guy died after being awake for 4 consecutive months.
Yeah.
With no explained reason as to why he actually died.
Yeah, but 4 months seems like way too long to be going without sleeping. Like, I would have almost have thought you would die before that, but...
Yeah, that's pretty crazy to be awake for 4 consecutive months.
Yeah, that'd be hellish.
Yeah, I mean, because 72 hours is 3 days? 3 full days?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't quite make it 3 full days. Like, 4 months is just not even in that ballpark. That's a whole different game.
Right.
Like, I mean, I thought I was bringing the game pretty heavy, staying up 70 straight hours.
Yeah, this guy laughs at that.
Yeah. Yeah, he made a fool of me.
Well, I don't know, because they don't say, like, what shape he was in, but I'm going to assume he just didn't drop over dead all at once. He was probably kind of degenerating over time.
Right. Yeah, I guess I could have looked into this case. Like, it sounds kind of interesting, really, just in general.
Yeah, because I don't know if he would, like, go, you know, into a coma almost at some point. I guess not. I don't know. Are you sleeping in a coma? Does that count as sleeping? I don't think it does, because your brain actually is, like, completely shut off in a coma. Or not. Like, there's not brain activity, right? Isn't that what they...
I believe that, yeah, the brain activity is a sign of that. So, yeah, like, there's brain activity when you're sleeping, so...
Right.
I guess that is a different state.
Yeah. So if you wanted to do like a loophole, you could probably do that. Just go into a coma instead of sleep. But that probably wouldn't really help you. I guess you would still need to sleep. So listen, people, all you people out there who are thinking, you're tired of sleeping, you think you see a loophole here that you can just go into a coma, it's not going to work, okay?
Well, and the other loophole breaker... Which I would admit that maybe from time to time I feel I'm guilty of, which is the make up sleep on the weekends.
Yeah, that's a strategy.
That you can't really, you can only make up so much sleep.
Right. And then it's like, it's kind of like, I guess, drinking water. Like they say you're supposed to do it throughout the day and not just like, you can't just really like gulp a gallon of water. Without, you know, drinking all day long to really, it's really not going to be that good for you. That's good for you, you know.
Right.
So, probably a similar thing with sleep.
Yeah. I've tried to do that, from time to time, and it doesn't really seem to work. These days, I do feel like I'm trying to sleep a little bit more during the week. Sometimes that is not always possible, but, you know, I'm trying to stretch it to 6.5 hours these days.
So you feel like you need more sleep as you get older?
A little bit. Yeah. In general, because I really did, like, there were times where I'd go and I wouldn't really have any problems doing 5 hours for a week. 'Cause that was the other thing that I do feel like I trained myself to do, which was to, just kind of into that sleep pattern, because at some point you do kind of need to make up for it. Even I feel like I do at some point.
Right.
Yeah, like if you're just doing 5 hours, I could do that one night now if I really wanted to, but it's not something that I look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, like it,
that's rough.
I didn't think about it then. And now it's just like, no, I don't want to. Like, there's no reason to do it. And that was the other thing that I ended up learning, is that really the last couple of years in school, I started to sleep more because it was stupid. Like, I had done that stuff most of my first 3 years. But getting some sleep really does help you out, because you start losing motor skills, and when you're trying to build something or draw something, having motor skills is pretty important.
That makes sense. You know, it seems like it would be counterproductive to, you know, to do anything really, to consistently miss out on sleep.
Right.
Although that is kind of like a thing where people are like, in a way, I think proud of not sleeping sometimes. Like they're so freaking busy that they don't have time to sleep. You know, it's like a bragging rights almost.
Yeah. I feel like it was then. It was a badge of honor at that in architecture school. I think that's why a lot of people drilled it into your brain. But in reality, it probably was not the best thing to do.
Yeah. Add that to the list of things that we used to think were good, but probably is not the best thing to do. The list keeps getting longer.
Okie dokie. Well, we could stop our list here. We are kind of at that point.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
We could talk about the Sippy Time Beer of the Week, which you supplied a full beer this week.
That's
we
right.
We did not split a 22, so we got a full 12 ounces this week.
Are you enjoying that extra ounce?
I did enjoy that extra ounce. it's Founders All Day IPA.
Yeah, it's a session ale.
Yep. 42 IBUs, 4.7% ABV. As I like to say, it's a pale ale with a different name.
well, it's and all about marketing, you know?
It's there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy them. It's just that usually IPA comes with a slightly higher price tag than a pale ale. So if a push ever came to shove, I'm going to go with the price and the same IBUs and ABV.
That makes some sense. Oh, I don't know if you probably have talked about it in other podcasts you've had, but you're starting to make your own beer here this week.
Yes. This past week I did brew the first of many red ales. I am going to concentrate on that one for my wedding. So I'm brewing a beer. I got some of the equipment for Christmas. I purchased the rest of the equipment myself. Our buddy back home, Steve, is marginally jealous of my brew kettle, despite the fact that he's been doing this for a couple of years, though I am leaning on him for a large amount of expertise.
Wow. So, like, a brew kettle. What is that, something you put on a stove?
No, I bought a burner to use outside.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because you've got to boil... Most of the homebrew recipes are 5 gallons.
Okay. So that's a big container then.
Right. I did not actually measure to see if I could fit the... Because I ended up getting a 10-gallon brew kettle. Because you don't want it to splash over if it starts to boil too hard.
You want it to, all the liquid to stay in there.
Yeah. And you actually really don't want it to boil that hard either. You want more of a rolling boil than...
A furious
bubbling
boil. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, since our wedding colors are charcoal and blood red, I wanted to tie in the beer choice with it, which is a red ale. So I'm going to try, I've got a little brew kit from Brewer's Best that I used along with a special red ale yeast, which was separate. They come with yeast in the kits.
Okay.
But it's dry yeast, and I guess the dry yeast is inferior to the wet yeast.
Okay. So you're going all out here.
Well, you're really... But, well, that was a bit of a Christmas present, too. I got $50 to the one brew shop in town here, the winemaker's shop.
Oh, okay.
It's in Clintonville. So I used them to purchase my kit.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty cool. And, you know, it just shows what a great guy you are, that you're taking care of your wedding guests, making them brew with your own hands. That's pretty something.
Yeah, and one of these weeks it will be the hashtag Sippy Time Beer of the Week, because in about a month it will be ready to be consumed.
Well, I look forward to that day.
So, grandkids, have a good night.
Peace out, all.